conversation about single parents. We'll have two sides to it. What is of value to the single parent? How can we reach that person? What is of value to them? Second side, if you don't mind, is what is of value to the church? In other words, how can the church draw, attract, retain single parents? Do you care about growing the church? Is that a valid concern? Is that of interest? So we'll look at both sides of that in the conversation. Before we start, Pastor Matt, whom I still think is at Indianapolis First Nazarene, but is now where?
Middletown,
Indiana. All right, would you pray for us? Have you seen Family Feud? Question number one. I always think Richard Dawson, sorry to show my age. I think Steve Harvey does it now. Am I right about that? Or is it passed on to some other? Has the torch passed?
Yes.
Is it Steve Harvey now?
Yes.
Okay, it's Steve Harvey. So, if I was going to ask today's single parents what they are looking for in a church, what draws them, what do they want to find, what do they hope to find, what are they after in a church, what would they be saying? We're going to come right to you. This is an actual question that we've asked hundreds of single parents at large church seminars. This church runs about 12,000 in Kansas City, about 7,000 in above San Diego, and about 10,000 in San Diego. Church is big enough to have tons of singles and very active singles programs, and we've asked single parents what they're looking for. What are they going to say? Yes. Isn't that universal no matter what your situation is? It's like, do I fit here? Is there a place for me here? Well, you know, if I come in here, is it going to be okay? Am I going to fit? Good answer. What are single parents hoping to find, looking for? We've asked them as an open-ended question, not a closed-ended question. A closed-ended question is like, do you want steak or chicken? What would you prefer? Chicken or steak? Open-ended is, what would you like for dinner? So we've asked them, what would you like for dinner? Single parents, what are you looking for? If you're looking for a church, what are you looking for? Go ahead.
Support.
Support.
Before, but just somebody to be there, to be alongside me.
Okay, so some help along the journey. It's like to not have to do life alone. Good one. Excellent answer. What am I looking for as a single parent? I like that. Feeling included, feeling like you're part of a community. That's major. That's major for any human being.
Not judged.
Not judged. Also good. Good. Thank you. So we've had more than 400 responses come in. So we know what the survey said. I wanted to hear what you said before we looked at the survey. We know what the survey had to say. Let's look at the top five responses on the survey. I'm sorry we don't have like little boards to ding and little lights to change and Richard Dawson's ever-charming personality or Steve Harvey's. They're both charmers. Here's the number one answer by a wide, wide margin. They say it in different ways, but what they say is, I want a place where my kids can get solid, either biblical or moral or values. They use different words, but it's the same thing. I want my kids to be trained in solid values, the right values. Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie. If I say that, do you think solid values? Not necessarily, but we have a friend who interviewed for a job as their nanny. They were on this extensive search to find a nanny, and it was extensive. During the search process, as she moved forward, she was blindfolded at times. She was driven around in vans that were blacked out, with the windows blacked out so nobody could tell where they were going or who was in the van. Traveled with the family. She became a finalist and was offered the job as their nanny. Of the three finalists, all three were Christians. Now, Brad Pitt is the son of a Baptist pastor, if you don't know that about him. I don't know how your mind works. When I think Brad and Angelina, my first thought isn't like evangelical Christian values. That's not my first thought. They wanted a nanny for their children to raise their children with that kind of solid values. If even Hollywood celebrities want it, no surprise that single parents, more than anything else, are saying, please give us a place where our kids can get values. They're telling us they don't get values education in school. Well, they do, just not not this kind of values. They're getting trained in school. Trust me, school is values education. Go to school. There's an enormous amount of values education. It's not that kind of values education. Number two answer out of more than 400 respondents so far. Does that surprise you? If I was looking for a church today as a single parent, I want a place where the worship energizes me, where it encourages me, where it lifts my spirits. I want to come out of there feeling differently than I felt on the way in there. Quick survey. Does that happen at your church? Does your church have, would people say this is energizing worship? Number two answer, by a wide margin. That one is a little bit directed back at themselves. The first answer was about their kids. Here's number three. I'm looking for Christian peers and friends for my teens and tweens. Obviously, not every single parent has a kid in that age category. If they do, what they want is a peer group for their kids that are in that age range. They're kids that, again, need to have people around them with solid values, with biblical ideas. They think a church youth group is a great place to look for that. And they're looking for that, a great youth group. Number four. You said this already. It's exactly what you said. I want a place to belong, a place where my kids and I can be a family and also have a family of other believers around us. This is something small churches do so well. I'm not anti big churches. May every church get big. I'm not anti that. But small churches do this so well. Sometimes if you're in a small church and you wish it was a big church, you forget what you do well. Small churches do that well. You're a family. You actually, first of all, you actually know each other. You actually care about each other. You actually pray for each other. You bear one another's burdens. For a single parent, can I please find a place like that? A place to belong where my kids and I can be a family and also have a family. And then number five answer, I don't know if you thought this would have been fifth. Back in the day, I might have thought this would have been first. It was fifth. It was behind everything else we've mentioned in an open-ended question. Number five, I'm looking for a place where I can form friendships. And yes, maybe someday, God willing, one of those friendships might become a lifelong marriage union. We do not get around to this kind of issue until number five in an open-ended survey. You'll recall, I wasn't trying to slant their answers or tell them what to say. Open-ended. What draws you? What are you looking for? Isn't that interesting? And they don't even say this. They more say that. This is the part where we brainstorm about what churches can do. Given that's what they're looking for, what can churches do? How can your church, even if it's smaller in size, figure that out? How many of you are from a church that's over 350? Okay? And how many under 350? All right. Nothing wrong with larger churches. Larger churches have these things called budgets and resources that are really cool. I mean, they can actually budget for events and have resources. Cool. Smaller churches don't always have that. This workshop is slanted a little bit on the side of what if I don't have a lot of money? I apologize for that. I just assume some churches need to do things that are cost efficient and not based in finances. So what can your church do even if you're smaller in size? Here's what you can do. You at your church can do exactly what they're looking for and give them solid biblical and values education. You actually can. How many of you have school teachers in your church? Are you already thinking about using them in Sunday school? Are they already plugged in there? You could provide solid biblical and values education for children. When you train a child in Bible knowledge and talk to them about character and values, you're supplying the top rank need that single parents look for. Quick personal anecdote. In a Nazarene Sunday school class, when I was young, a woman named Mary Alice Medley taught me to memorize scripture. You'd come to class, there'd be a scripture to memorize. If you memorized scripture, you got a candy bar. Did I memorize scripture? Yes. I like candy bars, so sue me. Even as a child, I like candy bars. You had your choice. It was a world of choice. If you memorized it and you said it correctly, you got an Almond Joy or a Mounds. Take your pick. Sometimes you feel like a nut. Sometimes you don't. You get an Almond Joy or you get a Mounds bar. Truly, that woman stored so much scripture in my mind through that process. I think in psychology we call that positive reinforcement. I would learn a verse, I would get an Almond Joy or a Mounds. It got stored in there. When it was time for my master's level oral examination at Nazarene Seminary, they were asking me, okay, if you had this problem in the church, what are five verses you would preach? If you had this problem, what are five verses you would preach? You know where I got my five verses? Mary Alice Medley. Time after time after, she had stashed so much scripture in there that even Chick Shaver and Dr. Bassett couldn't trip me up, because she had stuffed my head with so much of God's word. When you do that, that's the number one thing single parents are looking for, they're asking for. I want that for my kids. I want solid biblical knowledge. Let's just admit this. Nazarene Sunday School teachers are the greatest. They are making a forever difference in children's lives. How many of you have ever taught children in Sunday school or Bible school? God bless you. You've moved on. You do other things now. You haven't thought about it lately. You have made a forever difference in people's lives. It may not be until you get to heaven, but someday people are going to come up and tug on your sleeve and say, you did it. You absolutely did it. By the way, can I say Sunday school out loud, or is that passé? This is where even small churches can offer values education to kids in ways that are powerful. You don't need a large budget. You don't need a large church. God bless you if you have it. You just need a big heart for kids, including kids who may not have a dad in the home or a mom in the home, including kids whose experience of family may be brokenness. I volunteered this morning at another seminar. I'm Nazarene, not Lutheran. Are we clear on that? I'm not anti-Lutheran. I just happen to be Nazarene. Good friend of mine is a Lutheran. He teaches these confirmation classes, catechism classes to eighth graders, and then they get confirmed, and it's really cool. We should maybe try that in the Nazarene church. It's summer. He's going to be on vacation. He can't teach the class. He reaches out to me, Dr. Frisbee, would you please teach my confirmation class week one? In a moment of weakness, I said yes. Here's week one, lesson one, Martin Luther, confirmation, God is our Father. Oh, stirring. I did my research. I got my stuff together. I sat down with about a dozen eighth graders ready to tell them God is our Father. For some reason, I think because there's a Holy Spirit, for some reason, before I got into my God is our Father, before I got into that, I just had us go around the circle and talk about our experience with fathers. Abandonment, abuse, broken promises, all the way around that circle. I didn't get one, and maybe some of it was peer pressure after the first eight. I don't know. Nobody said anything. Their experience of fatherhood was so broken and so battered. And I was about to tell them, God's your father. Not a positive connection. I don't know why God had me stop. I'm so grateful he did. God had me hit the mute button and listen. So the entire lesson changed on the fly to, here is the kind of father God is. And we talked about a completely different experience of fathering than they had had, and it was the right thing for that day. Single-parent kids, they may be with their dad, they may be with their mom. There may be some level of brokenness in their experience of family. When you love them, when you bring them in, that's not about how much money you spend, it's not about the size of your church, it's about having a big heart for kids. Here's a value. When you upgrade the quality of your educational experience for children, you increase your effectiveness in reaching all kinds of parents, including single parents. Every kind of parent wishes their kid was getting better training in morals, in values, in Bible. Every kind of parent. We live in California that is so secular. You know all those crazy ideas you have of how Californians are? We're worse than that. But even the crazy people want some kind of framework for their kids. They may not adopt it themselves, they may not buy into it themselves, but they are so hungry for their kids to have some kind of framework to look at life with. When your church does that, it's the number one thing single parents are looking for, hoping for, praying for. I'm guessing your church can do that. Comment, feedback. Matt, can your church do that? If you were going to grade them right now, which is not a fair question, are they doing that fairly well right now? We've been to, so far, 42 countries, all 50 states. We see Nazarene churches of all size and type. Nazarene churches don't do too bad at this, I don't think. This is something we know how to do. What we don't realize is something we're good at matters to single parents. We don't realize. Yes?
We're pretty good at getting your kids and giving them, you know, moral training.
Yes.
We're not so good at getting the parents to come.
Yes. Yes. Let me take a fatalistic response to that. First of all, let's just admit defeat before we start. Worst case, we're going to have to grow up our own church from the ground up. Okay. Better case, the germs that have infected the children are going to be contagious and spread over to the adults. And case by case by case by case, I've actually seen that happen, where someone's life has changed because out of the mouth of a child, they heard a truth that they hadn't thought of in a long time. I know a lot of parents that are church senders that send the kids and don't go. Guess what? Church comes walking back in the door when they get home. It matters more than you realize. Comment, question. Those are contagious germs. Worst case, you grow the church from the ground up. That's not all bad. If you could grow your board members from the ground up, wouldn't you do that? Wouldn't you start from scratch? Wouldn't you start working on them as children so that in the future they'd be better board members? So how can your church, even if it's smaller, respond to the hopes and goals of today's single parents? You can plan and create intentional worship experiences that inspire, encourage, and bless those who attend. You could plan services that were just worship. You know that really cool part of every service where the pastor stands up and says, blah, 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 praise God, amen? You could take that out of a service and still have something that drew single parents. I'm not opposed to biblical preaching. I get to do it most weekends. I love hearing it. I'm pro-preaching. I can't get single parents to answer an open-ended question by saying, I really want more preaching. What they do say in answer to an open-ended question is, I'm looking for worship that energizes me, that elevates me, that takes me from the experience of my week to a higher plane, to a higher place. That's what they do say. You can do that with or without a lot of the other elements of a service. If your usual morning services are sacred cows and can't be changed, think outside the Sundays. What if you had a worship thing in your church on Friday night, and it was just a worship thing? Listen to me. What if it was Friday night, and the preacher wasn't even there, and all it was worship? If you'll clean up afterwards, you can get away with that. Clean up. I'm not kidding. You think I'm kidding? I am so not kidding. If you want to get away with that, clean up. Go in there Saturday and destroy all traces of Friday night. But if you will do that on Friday night, you can have energizing, inspiring, encouraging worship. Is there anybody that says, look, my church is so small, no one owns a guitar, nobody plays the drums, we can't do...
I play the piano.
That's fine.
That's it.
That's fine. If you're in a setting like that, I would suggest find two or three other churches that can go together and produce a worship service and call it, what, Saturday Night Live, Friday Night Praise, call it something, do it once a month. Does it matter how many people come? Not really. Single parents want worship that transforms them from... Now, I hear myself. I realize that theologically the purpose of worship is to honor and praise God. Are we in agreement on that? We're here not to talk about theology, but to talk about single parents and their needs and their issues. They want transformational, energizing experiences. Is it okay if they want that? Is it okay that we at least consider providing them? Anyone want to argue that we shouldn't give them what they want? We should give them a 48-page brochure on holiness that is exegetically correct and in Aramaic? And they're looking for an experience that changes how their day, week, month, year is going. Even a small church can find a way to do that. When you upgrade the quality of your worship for adults and students, you increase your ability to attract and retain new families, all kinds of families, single parent families, any kind of family that works. How many of you are the pastors of a church right now? Okay. Let me just, here's an idea. Maybe your church doesn't need an upgrade in the preaching. Maybe when you came, your church got an upgrade in the preaching. When you, however, increase this, the quality of your worship, all of a sudden, you can preach the same sermon in the same way for the same length at the same time. All of a sudden, there's an attraction factor at work that magnifies your influence. That is just a powerful, powerful thing. And no, I'm not talking about worship style at all. Comment, input, testimonial. What energizes you worship-wise? Anyone? It doesn't energize me. I'm the worship leader. I have to work. It's all work. It's all work. What's energizing worship like? I was 14 years old. I went to a thing in Estes Park, Colorado, that I think now is called NYC. We called it International Institute back in the 1920s. I got there, and they threw us off the bus right into a church service, which I would never have done to anybody. But the church service had a youth choir and these gifted musicians. Within 30 minutes of landing in Estes Park, I was in a different place spiritually, emotionally, every other way. Just in a completely different place. Because the music was taking me there. Is that okay with you? People listen to music all the time. It's not always godly. Music takes you someplace. Music affects your mood, your energy level, everything about it. When the music is godly, that's a good place to go. So how can your church, even a smaller one, respond to the hopes and goals of single parents? You can create a thriving youth group where friendships can grow deep and strong. Working with a church that had one teen, is that a youth group? I don't think so. It's one teen. Is that one teen the pastor's kid? Yes, that one teen is the pastor's kid. How do you create a thriving youth group? You got one teen, it's the pastor's kid. Let's have a youth event. PKs all over the globe face this same problem, by the way, and so do their parents. Turned out the PK played in the band. Do you know where this is going already? The PK had friends in the band. The friends in the band liked to jam. The church made space. Should I turn off the recorder? The church made space in the church available for teens to come in and just play instruments together and jam so that band members from the high school band could just come play instruments. You know what the teens did? They came and played instruments. You know what began to happen? They began to find their way to church. Those people seem like fun. That's an interesting church. All of a sudden, presto, youth group. Friendships growing deep and strong. They were started by the band, by the high school band, but when you give the high school band a place to fit in the church and play in the church, you can't go play in the high school in the evening, usually in most communities. If the church is open and you can play there, they were jamming. Big youth group where there was one PK before. Thriving youth group. Size does not matter. Youth group can be small, but united, God-focused, and healthy. Doesn't matter what size it is. You can have mission trips, work projects, car washes, go to camp together, help senior adults. I appreciate the help. And more. All kinds of things your teens can do. You've already thought of them. When you upgrade the quality of your youth group, and by quality I mean closer, deeper, stronger. When you do that, you attract parents as well as teens. Most parents in the world, and since we deal with single parents all the time, this is very true of single parents, most parents spend a lot of time feeling like they're messing up, they're not doing a good enough job, the kids aren't turning out the way they wished. Most parents deal with this anxiety and guilt that it's just not going as well as it should, especially when your kids are teens. You know, when they're in first grade, you're the greatest parent in the world. God bless you, you're so successful. When they're in 7th grade or 8th grade, less so. When the youth group is getting closer, deeper, stronger, that's attractive to parents, someplace where their teens can go, where it's safe, where it's good, where it's healthy, where it's wholesome, where it's biblical, where it's spiritual. That's attractive. Single parents are looking for that. How can your church, even if it's smaller, attract single parents. You can make your church this, a place to belong, a place where life and ministry are intergenerational, inclusive, God-focused, and supportive. Okay. Single parent is raising her daughter. A lot begins to happen. I can't give you the whole story. All of a sudden, the daughter ends up alone with no parent. Here's the part of the story I can give you. Two people who are related to that girl but are not that girl are dating. They're living together. They've lived together for 3.5 years. They start going to church for reasons no one can understand, to a church that's not exciting, that's not interesting, that's small, to easily one of the most boring Nazarene churches I've ever seen. Not that it's a, you know, contest. They start going to a boring Nazarene church. A young woman who is related to that girl is gloriously saved. And the guy who is dating that woman has his life transformed. They start having a burden for that girl. There's more to the story than I can possibly tell you. Here's what happens in a broken family with more mess in it than I can possibly describe. A couple that's living together begins to see that God wants them to live differently. They go to his Catholic parents and apologize for living together and tell the parents they're going to live separately and be chaste and get married later. And they go to her Catholic parents and apologize for living together and tell those parents, hey, we're gonna be chaste and live separately and get married later. The pastor didn't tell them to do that. The church didn't tell them to do that. The church, however, is really good at this. It's a boring church, but it's a place to belong church. It's an intergenerational church. The church began to love those people. So far, 14 people in that extended family, so far, 14 people have come to Christ out of brokenness and misery that ended up in a place to belong. That is more powerful than I can possibly tell you. Focus on your greeting and welcome. Friendly churches are warm and loving right from the start, walking in the door. When I walk into your church, is it warm? Is it friendly? Is it welcoming? I was at a church out east, I will not identify the state, recently. I wasn't working that day, so I could actually go sit in church. Was looking forward to that, mostly. I always look forward to not preaching until I'm listening to preaching, and then I wish I was preaching. I was just a guest. Walked in. I was greeted by one person the whole day. You know who the person was? A visitor like me. I'm not making this up. Good-sized church. Service wasn't bad. I was greeted by one person who was also there for the first time, just like I was. We can get better. We can do better at greeting and welcome. Friendly churches say that right from the start. They may not have these two people at the door, but is somebody out there welcoming people to your church? When you upgrade the quality of your welcome and greeting, families are more likely to stick with you. I love plugging other people's books. I can do that with no shame. Larry Osborne is the pastor of a large church in California that has now, I think, 23 different worship venues and has grown from like 2,500 to 10,000 or 12,000 people. Do you get the point? What makes you stick to a church once you try it? You're kind of test driving a church and you walk in there. What makes you stick? When you upgrade the quality of welcome and greeting, you stick. What are single parents looking for? Place to belong. You upgrade that, it's like, hey, I just found my place. Here's where I belong. So what can your church do for today's single parents? You can teach people. You know what? I'm going to preach here if I don't watch myself. You can teach people to form meaningful friendships and let God worry about the matchmaking. Wow. We have a lot of friends who used to be employed as singles pastors. And one by one across the arc of the last 10 or 15 years, almost every friend we have who's a single pastor has lost his or her job. Churches have backed out of that or reprioritized or downsized or whatever you want to call it. I'm tired of getting calls from my single pastor friends telling me they're looking for work. They just lost their job. The church just shut them down. Here's what they tell me in case after case after case after case after case. Singles are not looking for a meat market. They're not looking for a pool of dating material. That's not what they're looking for. They're looking for meaningful friendships. Genuine. They're doing life alone for the most part. They don't have a support network. They don't have what they need. Genuine, meaningful friendships. They can sort out the matchmaking later. They're not looking for a meat market or a date night or a whatever. If you can help people become the kind of person they would want to attract, you are doing them a service. You're doing their children a service. I am preaching. Listen to me. I am preaching. Instead of worrying about dating or not dating, do them this kind of favor to form meaningful friendships. Who can tell me what the top five things are that single parents are looking for in their own words? In their own words. Number one by a wide margin was? I want my kids
to be taught the right things and moral values and Christian values.
Yes. They say it either biblical or moral or that kind of way. They say, I want my kids to have a solid framework for doing life. They're not getting it anywhere else. Can your church do that? Okay. What's the second thing they're looking for? Energizing worship. Yes. Were you at M15, anybody? Oh, my goodness. Did we not do energizing worship at M15? I'm not asking what your worship style is. Oh, my goodness. There were a couple of evenings I walked into the M15 evening service a little bit tired, a little bit worn out, a little bit burnt out, a little bit wishing I had chosen a profession other than counselor. I was just through. Walked into there, and all of a sudden worship started. It was transformational. They're looking for that. Can your church provide that? I'm getting some yeses and some, I hope so, I would like to. What else are they looking for? Number three. Yes, if they have teens especially, if they have tweens or teens, that is powerful. They are really looking for that. Every parent needs help there, but single parents especially so. Normal two-person parent household, if such exist anymore, when you're worn out, theoretically, if Matt's worn out, theoretically he could just tag his wife and she stands up and it's her turn right now, theoretically, right? Single parent, there's no tag team. You can't go to you can go to the corner, but there's nobody to tap. Nobody's going to come in and rescue you. No fresh energy is going to come in. They are looking for a place where their teens and their tweens can have solid connections with safe people. Wow, do they want that? They desperately want that. Can your church do that? Yeah. Number four, what are they looking for? A place to belong. Every human being wants that. But when you're alone and you're thinking, you're worried that you're messing up your kids, you want that more than I can possibly tell you. Wow, do you want that? She told us, and she was right. A place where I fit. Intergenerational, multicultural, but a place for me where I can be okay, where it's okay to be how I am. And finally, what do they want?
Friendship.
Yeah, friendship. Dating, maybe, maybe not. Friendship, yes, friendship for sure. When your church grows people up into the image of Christ, you're creating better life partners if they do marry. So, focus on disciple making more than matchmaking. The only reason I say that is because since we work with single parents, I have pastors come to me all the time with their great ideas for date night, or they're going to like recreate eHarmony like it hasn't been invented already. I'm not opposed to that if the Great Commission interview includes matchmaking. But the actual Great Commission does talk about disciple making. It actually says that I'm more comfortable when we stay where the Bible already has us. Help people grow up and mature and become Christ-like. Take on the image of Christ. As you do that, you're creating better life partners if they do marry. It's a blessing to the kids. It's a blessing to the family. It's a blessing to their next door neighbors. It's a blessing to their boss at work. It's just a flat-out blessing. I'll save the resource comments. I'll save those for later. This is the heart of it. This is what single parents are looking for. Forget single parents. Think only about your church. I don't care about single parents. I just want to grow my church. Can you see how anything we've talked about here might grow your church? What's the growth angle? What's the insight for growth? What helps me grow my church? Yes. Yes. Forming those meaningful connections. Yes. What else?
Offering what people are looking for.
Yeah, which is what? What we just talked about. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, yes. We didn't have that conversation, but we should. We really should. A little bit with greeting and welcome, we alluded to that. I'm sometimes a visitor. I just talked about one of my experiences. I'm not making this up. I'm not that clever. Literally, greeted by one person who was also a visitor just like me. People are going to feel whether they fit. They're going to feel whether you want them or not. I have walked into and out of a whole lot of Nazarene churches where, honestly, I didn't know if anybody cared I was there or not. Maybe they did. They just didn't say so. There just wasn't that welcome, that warmth that people are looking for. Can your church change that about how it does church? Yeah, it can get way better than that. All right, yes. Nice. Yes, yes. I know of a church that sold its church building, and they had all of their guest parking right by the front door. Beautiful. The church that came in, I wish I was making this up, the church that bought the building changed all that parking to pastor, associate pastor, staff. You're telling me what you value. I don't care what your blah, blah, blah says. I can see by your parking assignments what you value. You value the staff having the easy, convenient. Yeah. Yes.
For the church I attend, they changed the name of the church to make us feel more comfortable because it was predominantly a Samoan service. So they were called Garden Grove Samoan. Yeah. And then when my family and one of my good friends' families, who's Latino, when we joined, they changed it to the Huddle Christian Fellowship so we would all feel welcome and not, you know, because we weren't Samoan.
Yeah. I don't know whose idea that was, but God bless them. That's this kind of an idea. That's an attraction factor idea. It's like, hey, I fit here even if I'm not Samoan.
Exactly.
Yeah. I have been, this is true. I have been very, very warmly welcomed at some Chinese American churches across North America. And I'm not Chinese. And everybody in the church is. Somehow, though, they make me feel welcome and included, and it's like, sweet, sweet. Where are you?
Garden Grove.
Yeah, I can do that. You're not in that big glass thing?
No,
that's not you? All right. I think that's Catholic now, isn't it? The big glass thing? Isn't that Catholic? All right. Yes.
We not only have greeters at every door, and we have a rotation of greeters, but we also have a greeting time after the first couple of songs, then we greet each other. And everybody, I know the staff and the board members particularly are supposed to go to everybody around them and shake their hand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we kind of do the same thing. Well, because I'm on praise and worship, which is a great thing too, because I'm not letting the same song. What we do is when during our greeting, you know, we're up there singing, and our church members, back in our vision, we actually get up, and everybody, not just the pastor, but everybody literally gets up out of your seat, and everybody's walking around hugging and walking up to everybody.
Nice. I would go to that church.
You're more than welcome.
I would go. There's a Christian Samoan boy band that got real popular for a while.
Who?
Yes, yeah, love them. Love them. Yeah, aren't they in Oceanside? Don't they come from like...
Yeah, and then the one brother pastors in L.A. area now.
Cool. Good music. Yes?
I was in a seminar just before this, and they kind of talked on this. One thing that I'm going to try to implement in our church is partnering kids with your greeters. Someone who would take on a child as a mentor, but then have kids at the door greeting.
Oh, I love that.
So people know that this is a place where families are welcome.
Oh, I love that.
A place to minister.
I love that.
And I think that's one of the things I'm going to try to implement in our church, is get kids involved in...
Brilliant. Talk about upgrading your greeting and welcome. That's an upgrade. Mm-hmm. I've not been to any church where a kid greeted me. That's a winner. That's a, wow, that's a winner. I mean, not with a buzzer in his hand or, you know. not Dennis the Menace, but some other kid. Yeah, yeah, that's a winner. Yes. Couple of resource comments for later. Comments, questions? We are mostly done. Where is your church exactly?
In Garden Grove on Euclid and Trask, off the 23 Freeway.
Euclid, I know. I didn't know the other street, but I can find it. Trask, Euclid and Trask. And I don't have to be Samoan to go there.
I'm not Samoan.
Sweet, sweet. I'm with you there. Very quickly, a couple of resources. This is new from Nazarene Publishing House. Don't let the title fool you. Dating after divorce. It's really about, should you date? Are you ready to date? Are you ready for a relationship? Is it better to stay single? It's more, it should be dating after divorce, question mark. But that's what it's really about. And this one, Raising Great Kids on Your Own, from Harvest House, has been around the block and been on Focus and been on some other places. A good single parenting book, and a free leader's guide is online at Discipleship Place for Sunday School and Discipleship Ministries. And I am very prone to anything free, so I like the word free. Discipleship Place, if you don't know, you can download all kinds of stuff for free. You can plan events, you can plan a year's worth of ministry for free. Just click, 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 and people think you're brilliant and think you're creative, and all you need to do is click, click, click.